Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
I am looking forward to today, because there's a topic that the Lord typically, year after year, has me circle back around. And it's a topic that I think is probably one of the things that has impacted my life more than anything that I've ever experienced as a believer in Jesus. And that is the Father's love. It has reached into the depths of my heart and transformed me and is continuing to transform me into the man that I am. And the Father's love knows no bounds. And the Father's love knows how to reach you right where you are. And the Father's love is something that is so important that it was the focal point of the life of Jesus. He basically, his passion, his desire, his hunger is that he wanted people to know his Father. That was it. And he wanted them to experience his Father and know that he is a good Father. And really, the deepest fulfillment of our heart comes when we embrace and when we receive the Father's love. It fulfills everything on the inside of you. It just seems to make you just take a big rest in this cushy sofa because Papa's in the house. And you're able just to find rest in your soul because you're loved. You're loved. Right where you are, you're loved. And it is the greatest moment and privilege that we have that not just one experience, day after day after day, you have the privilege of crawling up in Papa's lap and being loved by a father who sees you, he knows you, and he likes everything about you. And I've come to realize over the years that receiving the Father's love is not just a one and done kind of thing. Oh, I got that. I've experienced that. Yeah, I got it. You don't get a badge or t-shirt by experiencing the Father's love. It's an ongoing process. It's an unfolding adventure to discover the depths of the Father's love for you. So you don't just graduate from being one that experiences this kind of love. It's ongoing. It's unfolding. The depth, the width, the height of the love of God is a big thing, guys. I mean, when Paul says, I pray that you would come to know the height and the depth and the breadth and the width, you would come to know the ocean love of the Father is an adventure that you don't get tired of. You don't get tired of being loved. But you know, there are hindrances that we can have on the inside that can prevent us from experiencing the fullness of the Father's love. There can be blockages, hindrances. And has anyone ever just been triggered? It's like a moment that you have in life, and all of a sudden you're just triggered, and all of a sudden you're just like, and all of a sudden something comes out of you like, ah! It's like you react like, ah! And then in that, sometimes when you get triggered, it's hard to get untriggered. And I had an experience here in recently, and I had somebody, you know, fairly close to me, and we were having a discussion and talking, and, you know, everything seemed to be going okay. And then there was an event that happened that wasn't my fault. It just happened, but the individual wanted to take it out on me. Well, this individual just lays into me. And I'm like, ouch, this is starting to hurt. And then this individual got angry with me and then started saying things at me like, I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? And then, you know, your guard is down when it's somebody close to you. You don't expect it. It's kind of like, oh, my guard's down. I could take it. Go ahead. Give me your best shot. But the reality was, is that it was like an arrow that went into my heart. And I realized I got so angry. I got so angry. And then I couldn't turn it off. I'm like, I feel like I got stuck in like an old broken record, you know, an old 45. It just gets stuck. And I kept getting angry. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. And then I was talking to Eliza about it. And she says, you know what? I think that's exactly how your father treated you. And you're reacting by something that your father used to do to you. And I'm like, okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. That's going right down there to that little boy that got pretty upset when Dad came at me like that. And I realized that this obstacle was really hindering me from loving and forgiving and releasing and letting go of the anger. Because, you know, sometimes it feels good to hang on to the anger. It's kind of like, I'm going to get you back. But the reality is that we can't get back anymore. Jesus already took care of the get back. He already took care of all the anger and the unforgiveness and the hostility in life. And we don't have any right to be angry anymore. He says, forgive. Let go. Forgive. Let go. And in that, you're able to receive the Father's love in the depths of your heart and come to know this love that surpasses our understanding. So, I don't care if you are 2 years old or 85 years old. We all need a loving embrace of the Father's love. And I'm not talking about a one and done kind of thing. You know, we're too, you know, I've experienced that, now I'm on to something different. There is nothing better on planet Earth to be loved by a Father that loves you unconditionally right where you are. So I think if there's anything, we're to be experiencing it 1,000 times, not just one time. And to be reminded that we've been adopted. All of us have been adopted and translated into our Father's house where we're loved. Sons and daughters, we're loved by a Father that sees us and knows us and likes everything about us. But you know what is important is that we learn to receive it and embrace it. It's another thing to say, oh, yeah, God is love. But it's another thing to receive it and welcome it into the depths of your heart. That you're loved even when you're a rascal. You are. You're loved even when you don't think you deserve to be loved. He loves you. And that's the kind of love that he wants you to receive. And that love will transform you on the inside of knowing that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay because of his love. Now, why do I think it's important to receive it? Well, because there's ways we can push away love. Do you know we could do a really good job of putting up walls and blocking it and stopping it from coming near us? You know, we think, well, if this is what love is all about, I don't want any more. We've learned patterns of putting up a wall around our hearts and not receive it. But he stands there with open arms all the time, ready to embrace us, even if we're like, He's there to, he's just waiting. He's like, you'll come around. You know, his love is irresistible. Do you know that? And the beautiful thing about it is that the Father's love always pursues you, even when you're not pursuing him. He's always pursuing you. The other day, I was with Harper the other day. Harper is just a little bundle of love. And so I was sitting beside Harper on the couch the other day. And I just, you know, it's one of those moments where, you know, you just want to chew on their ear. They're so adorable, you know. And my heart was filled with love. And I was trying to give her a hug. And she looks at me, she's like, Poppy, no hugs. Poppy, no love. No, Poppy, no, no. No, Poppy, I got better things to do right now than getting a hug. And I'm like, you're so adorable. I'm not going to stop loving you. But the reality is that the Father stands over each of us, always wanting to hold us and embrace us and love us. But many of us are like, Poppy, no. Poppy, not today. No love today, Poppy. I'm too busy. I got things to do, places to go. No love today, Poppy. And that's really how we treat him. We really like, I've been there, done that, you know. Let me just like do what I'm doing right now. But you know what's so amazing? He doesn't like think, okay, well, they don't want me. I'll go somewhere else. No, he's there all the time. Because his love is unconditional. And we can't understand what that even means. We're so conditional when it comes to love. He's unconditional, no strings attached. His love is always on. So whether you receive it or not, his love is on. It's like game on to him. You're the object of his affection. Do you understand that? The object of his affection is you. He likes you. He loves you. He knows you. He formed you. He sees everything in you. And guess what? He likes it all. It's not like some of you are on the naughty list. No. He likes everything about you. There's powerful and persistent lies that whisper to us, telling us that we're unlovable, that we're unworthy, or he's forgotten us. You forgot my address because he ain't talking to me anymore. And this lie can stem from past wounds, personal failures, harsh things that you've gone through, judgments towards others, judgments towards yourself. And so consequently, many of us live as orphans on the inside. An orphan without a father. And in that, we're yearning for a connection that we don't have to like earn it, do something to try to get his love. We feel like our life is met by, well, if I have everything in order in life, if I do really good things, then God might love me or like me. And see, that mentality is an orphan heart. It's not based on performance. It has nothing to do with your performing to receive that love. But the focus should be on this simple, profound truth. The Heavenly Father is ready to embrace everyone with a love that can only be received and not earned. Do you understand? It's only received, not earned. You don't earn it. You know, Jesus made a profound statement that he communicated about his Father. And he says this in John 15:9. This is probably the most amazing statement he makes about the Father's love. And he says this, "I have loved you. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me." He's saying the same intensity, the same passion, the same love that my Father has for me, his only begotten Son, he said, that same love and intensity he has for you. So there's no variance in degrees of, well, you know, surely he loves Jesus a little bit more because that's his firstborn. I mean, we're down here somewhere. No, he's saying the same level. Think about it. All the times that Jesus got up early in the morning, late at night, and he went away to be with the Father, to experience him and know him and love him. That love and intensity is the same love that is here for us right now through Jesus. The same measure and love that the Father has for me, I have loved you with that same intensity. Basically, Jesus is saying, I am a conduit of the Father's love. It's coming through me to hit you and reach you in the depths of your heart. And he said, remain in my love. Remain in this love. And what does that make you think? Remain in it. Does that mean like maybe experience it on a regular basis? Maybe we're to abide in it? Maybe we're to stay connected to it? Maybe we're to allow it to be a part of our every life? To remain in it doesn't mean that you experience God's love on a devotion on one morning and the next day you forget about it. He's saying remain in this context of love that the Father has for me and I have for you. Let it be what defines you in your life. What defines you is abide in his love. And he said, And do not doubt my love for you. I mean, this whole thing is a love affair with God, who is so enamored with us that he wants us to experience him and stay in him. And then Paul says this. Paul says in Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So he's saying that this love is being poured out through the Holy Spirit, and it's coming into our hearts so that we might on a continual basis experience this extravagant love that is what is the essence of our life, that defines who we are. It dwells within us and lives, and it's alive. The Holy Spirit is releasing it into our hearts, and it's alive in our hearts. So today I want to talk about an amazing story in Luke 15. And in most of our Bibles, we read it, and you'll see on your category in your Bible, say the prodigal son. But I think a better description of this portion of Scripture is should be called the Father's love. I think it should be called the Father's love. So let's look at Luke 15, verse 11 through 24. And I want to share a picture of this, if you could pull that up. This is an amazing picture of called the Return of the Prodigal. And as you see the father there, it's his hands are just so tender and how they look and just the tender touch of the father. But there's such an authority there too. There's an authority that is in the father. But the son who's at his knees, the prodigal, is being embraced by the father's love. And there's nothing better than being embraced and held by a father. That's what's available for all of us. And today is the Father's love. So let's read, starting at verse 11. And he said, a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And you know what's amazing about that is you think that typically when you give an inheritance, you give it away. An inheritance is given after you pass away. An inheritance typically is all the worth or the value or your estate that you have as a father, and you typically will give it to the children, you know, after your passing. But in this, you see the father, he's given away the estate, he's given away the farm, and he hadn't died yet. It's an amazing act of love that he would give away all of his money, his estate, while he's alive. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country. And he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. The boy was hungry. When you want to eat pods in a pig stall, you're hungry. But when he came to his senses, came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I'll get up and I'm going to go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him. and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on my boy. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and has come alive again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate and have a party. There's 5 points I want to make on this portion of Scripture. And the first point that I want to make is this. Is the Father's compassionate pursuit for you. The key scripture from this parable of the Father's love, it paints a picture of God's heart for you right now. It says this, while the son was still a long way off, filled with shame, regret, remorse, in his situation of feeling like it can't get any worse than this, the father's eyes were fixed on him and waiting for him, anticipating him coming home. And he didn't wait for his son to get cleaned up, have a better attitude, or even deserve forgiveness. He didn't wait for anything that would give any evidence that he was sorry for what he did in taking the father's estate. He didn't do any of that. He saw him in his brokenness. He saw him in his emptiness. He saw him in feeling a total despair. And it says he felt compassion for him. And then in a moment, he defied all the cultural norms of that day. And the father ran to his son. See, in that culture, for an older man to run was a sign of dishonor. It was a sign of just disrespect, dishonor. That was not what you did there. And this father, a picture of the heavenly father, he cast aside all the dignity. He didn't care what he looked like. Because his boy from the society was getting ready to be shamed, was getting ready to be outcast, sent out as an outcast. And before anything could touch his son, the father ran to the son and embraced him and kissed him like a shield. It shielded him. It shielded the son from what people would say. Oh, that guy, poof, man, look at him. Took all his father's money. Yeah, spent it. Coming back for more. I mean, but the father said no. He felt compassion for him, and he ran towards him. The only thing that was the focal point of the father was welcoming his son. Welcoming his son back home. And this image shatters the lies that God is cold and he's distant towards you when you sin. This shatters that whole thought that says somehow you got to get cleaned up again before God's going to love you. It shatters that lie that says you're not worthy to be loved or forgiven. You really blew it this time. But the reality is, his attitude towards you is one of continual compassion. And he can't turn it off. He doesn't look at you when you've stumbled or when you have fallen or when you're not feel like you're hitting the mark. He doesn't say, to the woodshed you go. Go to the woodshed now. And I said, now. You don't go to the woodshed. He runs to you and embraces you. But the whole context, the whole point of this is that, are you going to receive it? And do you believe it? Because it's true. The lie says you don't deserve it, but the truth is, it's what he does. God is love, which is not based on conditions. It's unconditional. So he sees your struggle from afar. He sees what you're struggling through right now. And he's ready to run and meet you right where you are. That's what a father does. The father makes the first move. The father always makes the first move. He doesn't wait for the child to get cleaned up, do everything just right, eat everything on your plate. Come on. No. He's ready to run to meet you right where you are. Because that's what love does. Number two, it's a radical welcome. The son was expecting to receive as a hired hand, hoping to work, you know, his way back into good favor, good graces with father. And, you know, he had his speech prepared, detailing all his unworthiness. Oh, my gosh, what he's done. But the father silenced him. He said, stop. Not with a lecture. Not with, you should have done this, you should have done that. But with a display of just unconditional love. He gave him the best robe of the house, which signified honor. He was bringing honor back to his son. He was bringing respect back to his son. He gave him a ring, which signifying the family authority. It's the name. And sandals, which really signified his status as a son, not as a servant. Servants didn't wear sandals. The feast that followed was not grudging acceptance, but it was a joyful celebration that a lost child, son, had been found. I mean, this is amazing, amazing grace. You know, his love is not a meager ration where you receive after a period of great repentance and, you know, beating yourself on the back. That's not when you get it. The feast, get this now. I want you to understand this. The feast is prepared while individuals are still struggling. Do you see that? He's preparing the feast even while you're struggling. And Paul reminds everyone in Romans 5:8, says this, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. People were still running, lost, and they were rejecting him. Yet he chose to make the ultimate sacrifice for you while you were sinning. That's amazing love. Do you think that that speaks of value that he sees in you? He doesn't want your sin to define you. He doesn't want your shortcomings to say who you are. He makes the sacrifice out of love for you, even while you're sinning. He prepares a feast, a meal, even before, well, even while you're in it, the struggle that you're in. So just like the Father in this story, Jesus taught and he demonstrated this radical love. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because, you know, they were saying, oh, you know, Philip, just show us the Father. That's just enough. Just show us the Father. And, you know, Jesus had been with them day after day after day talking about the Father. He said, boys, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm a reflection of him. In other words, what we see in the life of Jesus as depicted in the Gospels, what it does is it reveals the true nature of the Father. So when we read about, and we're in the Gospels and we're reading about the life of Jesus, we're reading about the Father because he is the perfect representation of the Father, Jesus. And he represented unconditional love that says, I love you just the way you are. And you don't have to measure up, perform a certain way to receive my love. He says, come to me. Come to me. Just come to me. I love you just the way you are. You know, his love will clean you up. But you know, I fish a lot. And I have not yet figured out how I can clean a fish before I catch it. That's a toughie. He's not looking for perfection. His love, his perfect love, is going to make everything right on the inside of you. He's just saying, come to me. And his love is so irresistible, so attractive, that you won't want to sin. You won't want to. Because his love trumps it. His love is, it just kind of like, well, I don't know what the word is. Shazam. It's just like, it's a big deal, you know? It has the way of just forming in you the life and the person who you are called to be. You're going to walk in the fullness of who you are in your identity in the love of the Father. No strings, there's no conditions. He said, just come to me and receive the free gift of mercy and the compassion that I've offered to you through my Son Jesus. He's the conduit of the Father's love. You know, even the religious people of the day, they could not figure out this whole thing that Jesus was trying to communicate, because they often criticized him for spending time with people that didn't measure up, that didn't hit the mark, they were outcast. I mean, Jesus was spending time with the prostitutes, the gluttons, the tax collectors. In that day, the scum of the earth. But it was those people that were drawn to Jesus, not the Pharisees. They were drawn to Jesus because of this unconditional love. He loved them right where they are. He loved them. He loved them because he loved them. And love loves to spend time with those that he died for. He loved to spend time. It got all over the religious people. Because in their mind, love was defined by your performance, living out the law, being perfect. And if you're not perfect, whoo, you're in trouble. The reality is it was by do's and don'ts. That's how love was received. So when he's coming on the scene and sitting down and having a meal with prostitutes, that went all over them. They're like, this can't be real. But it's true. And point number three is that there's barriers to receiving the Father's love. Despite God's available love, we all in this room face obstacles to receiving that love. One of those obstacles can be the lens of your past. Yep, that's right. Negative experiences with earthly fathers or relationships can lead us to view God through a filter of fear, disappointment, and feeling like we have to measure up or perform to get love. A performance-based identity, what it does is that, I mean, the world ties our worth to our actions, causing us to confuse our identity as God's children with our performance. That's how we get loved, when we perform right. We may feel God's love is conditional and it's based on our behavior. But our standing, though, is based on Christ's works and not our efforts, our own efforts. But see, this can be an obstacle because we're so programmed to perform and have everything just right. Another obstacle can be pride and self-reliance, that you're the captain of your own ship. And humility is needed, really, to receive God's love. As pride can make us resistant to admitting that we have a need for a Savior and accepting this free gift, and that it cannot be earned, but pride basically says, you know what? I got this all together. I got it taken care of. I don't need it. And that can be a hindrance. Point number four is, what are you actually receiving? When I talk about the Father's love, what are you actually receiving? What is this? Well, there's several key characteristics, and that is that first, it's unconditional. The Father's love is not based on your performance. And because it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the Father's love is not based on performance. So that is a characteristic of what you're receiving. It's not based on you. It's on Him. And secondly, it's everlasting. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, it says this: I have loved you with an everlasting love. So this love of the Father is something that was going to continue and go on for a long time. Forever is a long time, right? So it's everlasting. It's not like He loves you 1 week and next week, whoo, Katie barred the door. He loves you, even in that second week, when you don't think you deserve it. It brings peace and security. God's perfect love casts out fear. It drives out the fear. 1 John 4:8 says this, there is a fear, no fear in love. No fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. What it does, the Father's love, it roots you and it grounds you on the inside. It's like there's a part of you that just feels such a strength in your inner man that you're rooted in a love that's got you, it's got an anchor on the inside of your soul. And you're not tossed to and fro. There's a peace, a contentment that comes in knowing that the Father's love is dwelling within you and you're experiencing it. For a long time, I've been sharing with a friend of mine about the Father's love, and I would talk to him about it, and he would say, yeah, okay, yeah, and go on with it. We'd go on with another topic, and then finally, I gave him a book by Jack Frost on From Spiritual Slavery to Spiritual Sonship, and he never read the book. Well, months went by, a year went by, and finally he pulled that book off the shelf and he read it. And in that, when he was reading it, all of a sudden he caught it. He caught it. When I'm communicating about the Father's love, you know in your heart when you caught it. I can't just sit here and teach you about the Father's love and you get an understanding in your head. This is something that you have to experience, and which is the embrace of the Father, where the love of the Father comes on the inside of your heart and gives you a big hug. Have you been hugged on the inside? It's a love that transcends what you think about God. It comes on the deep inside of you and says to you that you're valuable and worthy of my love. It's something that you receive. So all of a sudden, my friend, he said, Father, I just ask, whatever Sam's been talking to me about for these last 2 years, I just want to receive this Father's love into my heart. And he got it. He received it. He welcomed it. He embraced it into his heart. And he's like, Sam, I got it. I experienced what you've been talking about all this time. And I thought, Sam, you just keep talking about the same thing. And I'm like, you know, and finally he said, I caught it. You know, more is caught than taught. You just got to receive. If I say anything of any value, the Father's love is to be embraced and welcomed on the inside of your heart. And until you do that, you can be a Christian for 25 years and still walk around with an orphan heart. You can still have an orphan on the inside of you that still feels like it's got to earn its love, earn its acceptance. And because of the obstacles and the struggles in your life with your dad, whatever it was, I don't know, whatever experience you had with any father figure, it's going to block you from receiving the depths of the love of the Father, and it's time for the orphan heart to go. I can't cast out an orphan heart. You can't cast out an orphan heart. You know how it gets out? It gets displaced. It gets displaced by something greater. And that is Papa's love coming into your heart. And it displaces the orphan heart. Jesus says, no longer do I call you orphans. No longer do I call you orphans. The Father's love displaces this orphan heart, and you're embraced by the Father. And it is the greatest thing on earth that you'll ever experience. And continually staying in that love, remaining in that love, getting up every day. Oh, Papa, it's so good to see you again and be with you. And I get to experience you on the inside of me. And the other aspect I want to say about the Father's love is it's restorative. It will restore all that the enemy has stolen in your life on the inside. His love restores all things. So he restores your emotions. It restores your mind. It restores your soul. It restores your spirit. It restores everything. And as you embrace it, no matter how far you've strayed away, he restores and makes all things new. What did the Father do in the story of the prodigal son? He restored everything. He gave him a ring. He gave him sandals. He gave him a robe. He gave him a fatted calf. He restores everything. He gives it all back. And that's what a father's love does. It restores what the enemy has stolen in your life. And lastly, point five, embracing the Father's love brings transformation. It brings a freedom from fear. Do you know if you are battling with fear, you are battling with punishment and torment? And you know why? Because the devil traffics in fear. And he eats fear for lunch. That's his greatest appetite, is fear. He loves fear because that's the only weapon he has, is to give fear. Stop eating that meal. And the only way that fear can get out is by perfect love. Perfect love. The love of the Father cast out, drives out all fear into your heart, from your heart. And it gives you the power to even live differently. You know, when you don't have to fear living a performance-oriented life, all of a sudden you're like, you got a sense of belonging. You belong to somebody. You belong to him. And what's really cool is that we're all in this family together. We belong together and we belong to him. And so this type of belonging is what we receive as being adopted into the family of God, which is incredible. But sometimes it's wonderful to have a home that you can go to inside your heart. You got a home inside your heart. And it's the Father's kingdom. And the Father has given us the keys to the kingdom. He's given you the keys to the house. And you get to enter in. You get to be in your Father's house. And the Father's house consists of joy, peace, and good things. So just as the prodigal's father ran to his son, the Father is running to everyone here in this room, ready to embrace, ready to hold you with an extravagant, unearned, and ever-present love. And it's not necessary for you to clean yourself up, earn your place, try to get noticed, or perform to return in the good graces of the Father. The only thing to do is turn towards Him and receive His embrace. Just turn towards Him and receive His embrace. And if you've not yet received the Father's love, it's something that you can even receive today. And I got good news for you. You can receive it tomorrow too. So, you know, it's not like a good ice cream cone. You get to have one day and that's it. One ice cream a day or a year. You get to have it every day. You can have ice cream every day with Him. So if you felt lost or if you felt alone, you know, today is the day to come on home. It really is. It's time to come on home. Coming on home to the Father's embrace. Coming home to receive a Father's love. But guess what? You got to receive it. You got to welcome it. You got to believe that that's how He sees you, with an unconditional love. And you know, you might have been in a season where you just don't feel like you're really deserving of love. Well, I got good news for you. He does love you, and He wants you to come on home. He wants you to receive Him. And let His love transform you on the inside out as one of His sons and His daughters. So let's stand. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for just, Lord, just giving me the opportunity to share about Your love, Your unconditional love. And Lord, just as Jesus, His greatest passion was to reveal the Father's love. And that the Father's love was already in action and on the move even before the Son said anything. And Lord, I thank You that today, that no matter where anybody is in this house, You're right now on the move heading towards them. And I pray, Father, that hearts today would be open to receiving the depths of Your love that will transform their hearts and make all things new. I pray today, Father, that You would embrace Your sons and daughters and that there would be a coming home party where those that have gone through struggles and disappointments would realize that they're always welcome home. And I pray, Father, today that You would embrace each and every one here with Your unconditional agape love. And I thank You, Father, for that. Father, I thank You that Your love is what defines us, not our circumstance. All things are made new. So, Lord, I'm asking today that anybody that their heart might have been hurt over the years of pain and disappointment, that, Lord, You would restore hearts today in an amazing way. And I thank You for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If I've said anything that has resonated, or even if it didn't make sense, but you might be thinking, this might be too good to be true. I want you just to take a step of faith and say, Father, if this is true, and you love me this much, that you actually will come running to me even in the midst of my struggle, I want to receive it today. I want to receive it by faith. I want to welcome it into my heart. I want to welcome this love into the depths of my heart. And I want to taste and see that you are really good. I want you to come get some prayer. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of one step and then another step to receive love that is unending, that is so beautiful that it will transform you on the inside. So if you want to receive the Father's love, I want you to come forward. I want you to be blessed and to receive it. So can I have some of the prayer team come on up? So today, I want to invite some just to kind of come on home and just be prayed for. And if this whole topic has been a struggle for you, well, then you're the one that needs prayer. Because, you know, a lot of times when you talk about the Father's love, everybody's guards are going up. Because it's going through your filter. But if you just need a wonderful touch from the Father, I want you just to come and receive prayer. So come on forward. Father, I thank you for this incredible church. Lord, I pray you would bless and keep each and every one. And that, Lord, you'd make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. And that you would lift up your countenance upon them this day and give them your peace. And I thank you for that, Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.